Hello and welcome back to the Dune Minute Podcast, your place to dive deep, minute by minute, into the cinematic adaptation of Frank Herbert's world of Dune. My name is Zach.
I don't like that.
What? I said it right.
No, we've always said I'm one of your hosts.
Oh my God.
And I'm John.
I'm one of your hosts, Zach. Well, fucking say it.
I'll just start over. You got me all fucked up, man.
Fuck you. I'm keeping this in. You're going
No.
Okay. All right.
Hello and welcome to
Well, no, hang on. No, you don't just get to bogart the yeah, intro just right. Because you got upset.
Yeah.
Hello and welcome back to the Dune Minute Podcast, your place to dive deep, minute by minute, into the cinematic adaptation of Frank Herbert's world of Dune. My name is Zach.
And I'm John.
Fucking asshole. All right, we are back.
It's Friday.
It's Friday.
You're tweaking the intro and it's freaking me out.
I did not tweak the intro. It's
you
fine.
You
did,
but you know what? We're just going to roll with it.
We are here to talk about minutes 104. I did that one on purpose.
Okay. I was about to be like, boy, I will come across this living room and smack the shit out of you.
We're talking about minute 104 through 105. This minute starts and ends with people saying stuff that we, the audience, already know and have heard before.
Already know. This is exposition.
Yep. Not to say it's not important. It's very good information to have, but it's all things that we already know.
Yep. So let's get into it.
Let's do it.
Yeah. So Captain Obvious ended the last minute saying, that's Duncan.
Yep.
Flying the ornithopter, which appears over the desert. Duncan greets Paul and Jessica. He's visibly distraught. And the minute some logistical podcast things, we actually ended last minute at 59 seconds because
that was
we wanted to avoid starting a sentence with one single word.
Yeah. Thank you for bringing that to light. That was really weighing on me. I will have my Instagram apology, my quad box up.
Yep. Okay.
Later. It's, you know,
you're gonna make a YouTube apology as well.
Yeah. I'll get my ukulele out and we'll do some apologizing.
Okay, cool.
You know, it's just, we're going through a tough time. So I just respect our privacy. I just request that
here at Dune Minute Enterprises, LLC Incorporated, yeah. Registered trademark.
Yeah. it's just a tough time for all of us. So I just appreciate your bravery, John, in bringing this to light.
Look, it's time that we're honest with the people.
Yeah.
You know, we say we talk about the minute.
It's true.
But that is one we only talked about 59 seconds. And
it's a core ethos that we talk about the minute.
Are we even the Dune Minute anymore, Zach?
If we can't be true to our listeners, who can we be true to? Certainly not ourselves.
The cats don't fucking appreciate it.
Yeah, I know they don't. Well,
they're ignoring us right now.
I think that's who I'm upset about disappointing the most.
Yeah.
The cats.
I don't care about you. I care about them.
Equal. I feel the same.
Yeah.
All right.
I would expect nothing less. Okay. This bit's gone on way too fucking long.
So we get Duncan saying, my lady.
Yes. My lady, Paul, I'm so sorry. Your father.
Yeah.
And Paul's just like, yeah, we fucking know.
Which is, how do you think we feel about all of your exposition moments? You're stating the obvious. That's exactly what we feel, Paul.
Yeah, Paul.
We know.
Paul. But Duncan does what Duncan does best, and Duncan serves best, and Duncan immediately bows, takes Paul's hand, and presses it to his head.
Yeah.
The back of his hand to Duncan's forehead.
Yeah.
And addresses him as he is, my Lord Duke.
Yeah. So this is the first time that Paul has had this kind of interaction, obviously. I mean,
yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he doesn't know what to do with this. He's like, he looks taken aback a little bit, like kind of confused.
And so does Jessica, because I think for hers, it's different because she's so used to Leto being addressed as such. And now it's her son.
I took from her look saying, damn, I didn't expect you to have to deal with this so soon.
Yeah.
Like, of course it's going to happen, but she's like, oh fuck, it's already happening.
Yeah.
It's right here.
Which is funny though, because literally minutes ago in the movie, she even says, you are the Duke Paul Atreides. So
maybe she thought they'd have more time.
Oh my God. Stop.
But Paul's look, you know, he's kind of taken aback by this, and you know, I took a stab at like wondering what's going on in his mind like right now, like, you know, what is he thinking?
Yeah,
but it's like, I mean, this is one of his closest friends.
Yeah,
they've always had a brotherly relationship, and now Duncan is kneeling, calling him my Duke, showing him the reverential signs, and this is a massive change in the relationships that he's going to have with people.
Yeah.
And his friends are not going to be his friends anymore. They're going to be his subjects.
Yeah.
Which is
strange.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've ever dealt with this in life, but there have been a few moments we went through this, I think, you and I, when we used to be coworkers, and then I got promoted to a management position on the same team that you were in. So we had to kind of navigate that landscape of.
Did we though? I feel like things didn't really change that much for you.
It was, yeah.
But at that point, you and I had also known and been working with each other for.
True. It is not this drastic. I'll admit that. But for other friends that we had on the team at that time,
definitely.
It was a very different dynamic that we had to, or at least I had to, you know, learn to live with. So I get it.
Yeah.
I get what Paul's going through, you know, going from coworker to boss, or, you know, friend to Duke. It can be very strange, and you have to kind of navigate that with intentionality and a certain amount of deftness.
I was going to say, as far as I was concerned during that time, I feel like I called you out on your bullshit more.
Probably. Yeah. And I deserved it.
Yeah.
So I really empathized with Paul and what he's feeling right now, just having done that a few times in my life.
I didn't even think about that, like when I was making my notes and stuff, but that also makes sense because you were the one that got promoted up and everything.
Yep.
Not that I fucking wanted that responsibility. No. Fuck that. I had it good. I was working by myself from home.
Yeah.
No one was bothering me ever. This was for listeners too. This was like 2017.
Yeah.
Yeah. So way before COVID.
Heavy is the head that wears the crown, John. Wouldn't wish that on my enemies.
Yeah, you would.
I don't do it anymore, clearly. So, anyways.
Before we dive too much into your office politics.
Paul put his hand on Duncan's shoulder and telling him to rise effectively. You know, okay, yeah. Good, we're done here.
I just had a note on here that. It was like Paul didn't know what to do with his other hand, so he just gave his friend a pat on the back.
yeah, exactly. and then right after this.
Yeah, we cut to the ornithopter flying over the desert at dusk, night kind of time.
Seems like there was some
time. The day had passed, definitely.
Yeah, which was odd.
Well, I mean, I'm sure that there was a lot of travel and everything, but when Paul was coming out of the desert sand, it was still very morning-ish. We don't really know how many days or how long Paul and Jessica had been in the Frem tent. I would assume it had been for a while, just because it wouldn't have made sense for Paul to have had all of his visions and all of his moments of impressions and everything, then immediately go into having the emotional breakdown of the death of his father to then just be completely stoic and chill.
Yeah.
All within like a couple hours.
I think
plus we had also seen two. So
I think we're led to believe it's been a night.
Well, it had been at least a decent amount of time, because remember the first time that we see the Frem tent, it's kind of half buried under the dunes, or it's kind of half buried under the sand. And then when Paul emerges, he emerges like when he's helping Jessica out, like he's got his whole torso and everything under the sand.
Yeah.
Like pulling her out of the tunnel. So it had.
So this is explained in the, and this is not in my book notes. I'm not giving away anything from the end here, but that is explained as the night that they were in the tent, the storm passed, like a sandstorm came through and buried them. So that, was explained. What's that? Oh yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Was that a Mario thing?
No, it was Sandstorm by Drude.
Is that an EDM song?
Yeah. Zach.
I know the song. I couldn't sing it for you. I know it's a song. Is that the one that soccer players chant all the time?
Everyone fucking chants it all the time.
Okay. All right. I'm sure I know it.
I'm not going to play it because no, DMCA copyright shit.
It's all right. I'll listen to it on the way home.
No, you won't.
No, I won't. But it's fine. I think it is meant to illustrate one night in the desert. Anything past that, I don't see any supporting evidence for it.
Sure. Okay. Yeah.
Not saying it's not the case. I just don't see any evidence.
I can agree. You know, a night or especially if there's a bad sandstorm. Yeah. Who knows?
Yeah. The part where I said, or the part that I was getting to where I said this is odd is, yes, there's some time that elapses between them meeting Duncan in the desert and the next scene. You know, at least a day. That is elapsed. You know, we're in the morning time. Now we're in night time flying. Yeah. The part that is odd about this is that the dialogue that we hear right after this is probably stuff they would have said within like the first
immediately.
Like, or they're just sitting in silence. So these are like fucking big, like big important things that they're talking about. Probably would have been talked about right when they got together.
Yeah.
Not, you know, at 6-8 hours
I imagine Duncan would have known to give his Duke a debrief as soon as he could have.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So I don't know. It's the passing of time between dialogue does not exactly match the passing of time that we see visually.
Sure.
So
that is a appropriate nit to pick, I believe.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, it doesn't detract from anything, but again, we're watching this second by second. So it's weird. But hey, look, who's with him?
It's Dr. Liat Kynes.
Kynes is with him. So after the almost altercation that we saw Duncan and Kynes get into, and Duncan's
beef was squashed.
The beef apparently was squashed. Yep. Kynes is flying with him. She gives them both.
Just like the Gallaghers and Oasis.
Yep.
Yep.
The beef has been squashed.
To our UK viewers, I hope you were able to get your tickets.
Those things sold out so fast.
Dude, crazy fast. Like, instantly, they were up for resale for like £6,000.
Good Lord.
And they were like 150-pound tickets.
Jeez Louise.
Fuck scalpers. If you're a scalper, fuck you.
Stop listening.
Fuck you.
Stop taking this free podcast and reselling it to people. Maybe. I don't know.
Or at least cut us in on
that. Yeah, give us a little bit. I said this off mic. I don't have any values. I'll sell out.
Yo, Stob, hit me up.
So Kynes is with them. She gives them both a fresh Capri Sun.
Yeah, not a Fremen Capri Sun, but like,
yeah, something to drink out of.
Yeah. I would assume it's probably like some hyper hydration concoction that.
Sure.
Yeah,
they get like a liquid IV.
Paul and Jessica had a rough night, so yeah, they need that B12 shot.
Yeah. I hope it's the tangerine flavor liquid IV. This thing is so good.
I actually never had liquid IV.
They're pretty good. I mean, obviously great for a hangover cure, but really good just to have if you're working out. So good stuff. And the tangerine flavor, primo. Cream of the crop.
Not sponsored.
Not sponsored. I'm just a fan.
But like you said, you'll fucking
hit us up. So Jessica like immediately drinks the water. She's just like, give it to me. Yeah. I need it now.
Well, she hated the Fremen Capri Sun. So.
Yeah. And Paul kind of looks at like him and Kynes like connect eyes for a little bit. And I couldn't exactly tell what was going on between them. I think it was he was like looking at her and she could tell something had changed.
I feel like it was a moment that he had where he was like, I know what you're actually about.
Maybe so.
But yeah, to your point, she has no idea what the fuck just happened to him.
But so, yeah, I just, that's just what the vibe that I picked up on.
Yeah.
Was like, Something's different about you, man. I can't quite put my finger on it, but something's different.
Why are you so fucking weird now?
Yeah. Yeah, and then Duncan goes into his debrief on the Harkonnen attack. Some things that he mentions, the Harkonnens hit every population center at once. So, Arakeen, not the only city on Arrakis. There are other smaller population centers.
We had talked about that. We had talked about how, you know, not all of the spice that was harvested was just stored in Arakeen as well. And it's not a good idea to put all your eggs in one basket. Nonetheless, all the baskets were destroyed.
Right. One of the ones that gets mentioned here, or maybe a little bit before in the books, is a city called Karthag.
Yeah, they don't mention any cities in the movie other than Arakeen.
Right. So, yeah, Karthag is another city. Jessica had described it earlier as a Harkonnen hotbed. So, you know, further away from the palace, you know, you're going to get more dissidents, I guess.
Yeah.
So that's, yeah, another population center that would have been hit at once here. Duncan estimates at least 10 legions of Harkonnen and hundreds of ships.
10 legions, hundreds of ships. There were Sardaukar with them, at least 2 battalions.
Yep.
Now we, as the viewers, know that it was 3 battalions.
Right.
Nonetheless, it was the presence of Sardaukar, which is what is going to drive the rest of the conversation here.
Yeah.
Because Jessica's immediate response was, "Are you sure?" And Duncan says, "You cross swords with the Sardaukar, you know it."
Yep. Yep.
Bearing in mind, Duncan is one of the most skilled fighters in the Imperium as a whole, with him saying that Fremen were the closest to dying he ever came.
Yeah.
Like being in conflict with Fremen. I would imagine then that he's pretty on level with Sardaukar in terms of ability, obviously a little better.
Yeah.
As we see. And as he's able to fucking 1v4 them. But
yeah. And that's something that Piter was alluding to when he was talking with the Sardaukar captain or whatever.
Yep.
On Seleucus Secundus.
Bashar.
The Sardaukar Bashar. Bashar Bashar, whatever.
On seconds also, yes.
God damn it. Just trying to move away quickly.
Nope. Seconds also every time.
Yeah, so then Jessica.
Seconds also Verde.
Jessica looks at Kynes and says, "So the Emperor's taken a side." Well, sorry, I got that backwards. She says, "So the Emperor has taken a side." And then looks over at Kynes and says, with just the most amount of pith and sarcasm, that, and I love it.
Yep.
She looks and says, "What says the judge of the change?" It's so
Kynes,
great.
And Kynes gives Jessica and Paul the same sad look that she gave Duncan, where she just says, "The Emperor forbids me from saying anything at all."
Yeah. I still think that's a cop-out answer. I understand that's the duty. That is what she's here for.
It's a cop-out for now.
For now. But that's just, I'm just doing my job, ma'am. I just work here, kind of answer. So we don't get to hear the rest of it because the minute ends right after the sentence. So kind of in the middle of Kynes giving her explanation.
But at least we didn't end the minute in the middle of a sentence.
That's true. Very true.
You know, we've already done one apology video. I don't want to do another.
Yeah.
Even though that definitely wasn't the first time that we've either extended a minute by like half a second or cut it short. Well,
That's just for us.
That's a little treat for us.
Any more notes on the movie? I got just a couple of things to talk about in the books.
Now, the only notes that I had were the ones that we talked about, how this seemed like a way out of place conversation to happen hours later.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So for some book notes, this is coming firmly in the first chapter of the second part of the book.
Muad'Dib.
Yep. In the Muad'Dib book. As they emerge from the still tent, Duncan and Kynes both, we get almost like a repeat of the scene where they escape from the Harkonnen ship. They just always happen to be at the right place at the right time. Duncan and Kynes find them in the desert. Paul again notes that it's Duncan just by the minutiae of the way he's flying.
Because his dumb mom isn't paying enough attention.
Yeah, exactly. And Duncan is also kind of giving them a debrief about what's going on. Now, the fighting is still very much going on.
Yeah.
In the books at this point. So Jessica and Paul, after they emerge from the tent, they see action still happening. The Harkonnens are still in the process of, you know, scouting the desert and, you know, rooting out any kind of Atreides or Fremen that they find. So the attack is still very much happening. Mm-hmm. After they get picked up by Duncan and Kynes, they are, Duncan is in the middle of saying that he left the Harkonnens a surprise. And in the middle of him saying that sentence, a massive, massive atomic explosion goes off over near one of the ridges that they're flying past.
Yeah.
They're close, or they're far enough away from this to not get just obliterated, but they still have to be like, Duncan shields them from it.
Yeah.
You know, throws them off of the, or they're not flying at this point. They're just like talking on the ground, but he like throws them to the ground and like protects them, whatever. And Jessica, once they get up, she looks at Duncan and she's like, you did not take one of the family atomics, which I don't think is something we've talked about yet.
The atomics aren't even mentioned in the movies until
two,
like act three of part two.
Right.
Yeah. Like it is a very late to the game in terms of the movie.
Yeah.
Thing. So
they're mentioned a few times in the book.
Their only purpose in the movies is just to be the deterrent.
Yeah.
Against the other greater houses of the Landsraad once they enter Arrakis airspace. They're never used in the movies, at least. Now, I'm sure that was a probably deliberate decision by the studio to be like, hey, how about you don't?
Yeah, I'm sure. So she thinks, you know, the Atreides, when they moved to Arrakis, they brought their family atomics, which sounds like a family heirloom of sorts. And it kind of is.
Here's your dad's ring. Here's the bull that killed your dad. Oh, also, you have a fuckload of nukes.
Yeah. At this point, Jessica thinks that Duncan has taken one of those and used it against the Harkonnens, which is, you know, on Earth, we have certain, you know, rules of war that people are expected to uphold.
Supposed to.
Yeah.
Kind of.
You know, Geneva Convention stuff.
Yeah.
In the Dune universe, they have this thing called the Great Convention, which is, again, part of that is, you know, what can you do in war and what can't you do in war? Use of atomics is limited by the Great Convention. So they're not supposed to be doing this. So the fact that Jessica thinks Duncan just set off an atomics, one of the atomics in retaliation to the Harkonnens, she's like, fuck, dude. She's like, this is
wiped off shit.
Yeah, she's like, this is, you know, I can imagine like that would be 100% grounds for the Emperor to come in with a full force of Sardaukar.
Yeah.
And, you know, mess shit up. Duncan quickly calms her down, saying, no, I didn't do that. What I did was there was a part of the desert that the Harkonnens were scoping out for Atreides activity. What I did was I put a big shield down, turned it up to full force.
Yeah.
And when they were coming in and raising the place with their laser guns, we've said it multiple times, the interaction between laser gun and shield equals atomic blast.
Yeah.
So he's like, no. I left a shield out there. It was a surprise for them to find. And Duncan claims that this was defense, not a weapon.
I know my rights.
Right. Even though it like obliterated any Harkonnen that was in that area.
Yeah.
And part of why Duncan did this was to deter them from using laser guns in their like scouting and whatever.
Sure.
So if they're worried they're going to hit one of these shields, then yeah, they'll deter them from using laser guns. Yeah. So after this, like I said yesterday, this is kind of where the book and movie start to converge again.
Yep.
They make their way further into the desert with Kynes in tow aboard the Harkonnen Ornithopter. So we're back. We're caught up.
Yep. We don't know where they're going just yet, but we'll talk about that a little bit next week.
That's right. Cool. Any more notes?
I have nothing for this week. As far as this week is concerned, I'm going to have to give it at least 7 Shai Hulud.
That's exactly what I was thinking.
Probably 7.5, just because And I'm extending a little bit into last week as well, just because with where we started this week, kind of halfway through Paul's, you know, waking dream and everything, we definitely get to the climax of it. And it's not only one of the best scenes in the movie, it's one of the most important scenes in all of Dune, the book, and Dune Part 1 and 2, the movie. This is Paul's next step in evolution as he becomes the Kwisatz Haderach.
Yeah.
And it's so fundamentally important. Yeah.
It's good.
There's nothing more that I can say than it's fucking great.
Yeah. Yeah. I got to join you up there because, you know, just as for all the reasons you said,
say 7.5, 8.
All right.
Probably.
Yeah. For all the reasons you said, I mean, and this is just, it's such a lore packed set of minutes here. Yep. It means so much for the universe and so much for the story. So yeah, it's one of the key pivotal moments, in the movies.
Also, books, so. We get to see Muad'Dib for the first time.
That's true.
So cute little mouse, know, little homies chilling.
All right, cool. Well, that'll do it for this week. I appreciate y'all sticking around and letting us talk about Dune for a while.
Yep.
If you'd like to reach out, we are on Instagram at The Dune Minute. We're on Twitter at Dune Minute. And you can send us an email at DuneMinute@gmail.com. Anything else, man?
No, I think that's it. We'll be back on Monday for more episodes. So as always, feel free to, you know, rate and share the show, share it with friends. And we'll see you guys later.
See ya.